إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ومن والاه وبعد. My brothers and sisters, we are on the last and the third part of the series on agriculture in understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, his tawakkul on him, understanding tawakkul, understanding the principles of education and learning and teaching of Islam, and today inshallah understanding the issue of qadr and the issue of risk. There is a series of lectures of mine called Risk Ordained or Obtained. So I suggest you see them. Risk Ordained or Obtained, that is the title of the lectures, and also there is a book called by the same title, called Risk Ordained or Obtained. So you can read the book also and you can listen to the lectures. But today, for the purpose of understanding the issue of agriculture, we are talking about plowing fields, planting and so on and so on. The issue to understand about the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and before that I must say something which is important, which is not an aside, but it's important to understand, which is the adab that is required of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Many times we find people who do not understand adab. People, they have not studied deen, they don't understand the usul, they do not understand the position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, what is permissible for us in terms of how we address Allah, or how we talk about Allah, or how we talk about the promises of Allah. This is part of the education about aqeedah. But since most of us do not take the trouble to formally learn our aqeedah, we don't know this. But those of you who have taken the trouble to do that, and once again, if you have not done it, then see my series of lectures on aqeedah. But for the moment now, very important is, as far as the qadr of Allah is concerned, many times you hear people, for example, the turmoil that is going on in the world today, all across, or it might be something at a smaller level. You know, you might see some negative thing happening, you might see some problems happening in society and so on. And sometimes people say, why doesn't Allah do anything? They even go to the extent of, I don't know whether it's supposed to be a joke or what, but people say that, oh, that's nice, you know, Allah is sitting up there and watching the fun. Or similar, na'udhu billahi min zalik, to make similar kind of comments. Please understand that as a Muslim, if you make fun, if you make a joke about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, or any of his promises of the ghaib, or about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you make a joke about that, then the ayat of the Quran of Surah Tawbah is very clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you have entered kufr after having entered iman. Yeah? Which means that you have left Islam. Please understand that making a joke about Allah, you know, the famous, like they say, Jannat ki haqeeqat hum jante hain kya hai, wo sher, dil ko behlane ke liye ghalib ye khayal acha hai. Na'udhu billah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive the man and save him from his own tongue. But this is the reason why poets and shuara, except those who have recited or written poetry which is corrective and which is in praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or which is of some islahi nature, the chances of poets going astray is very high. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't like poets. Illa mashallah, of course, except for people who were of a different nature. Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, for example. But other than that, this is the reason. So making these jokes is not, it is definitely not funny, as one, number one. Number two, Islamic aqidah wise, it will send you out of Islam. And please understand, if you have gone into kufr, then unless you make tawbah, you will not come back into Islam. Please understand this also very clearly. So, and that does not mean that you will grow two horns in your head and a tail or something. No, you will be considered as a non-Muslim. Nobody knows that. But when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is when you will find out. And that is not a time to find out. Please understand very clearly. So, if you have said something like this jokingly without knowledge because of your ignorance, make tawbah inshallah. But anyone who says these kinds of things, that they think they are very smart and very cool, please be warned that this is against the adab that is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. If you have said something like this about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it is against the adab that is due to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this has sent you out of Islam. If you had said something like this knowingly, then you are no longer a Muslim unless you make tawbah and return to Islam. So please understand this very, very clearly. Now, as far as the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, we come back to agriculture. You have a situation where there are two farmers. One farmer has ploughed his field. We are looking at these two farmers in the middle of, towards the tail end of summer, right? When he is, I'm talking about the Indian context, so he's waiting for the monsoon rains to come. He knows it is going to come around this time, maybe June, July. So, one farmer, he has ploughed his field, he has dug the irrigation channels, maybe he has got a hillock or a hilly area in his land where he has planted some trees. So, for those trees, he has dug lock and spill drains. He has put coconut mulch into the drains. He has taken all these, all of these preparations he has done. Maybe in his land there is a small depression, so he deepens that so that it can hold the runoff water. So one farmer is doing all this very hard work. He is doing all of this work in the summer and so on and so forth. The second farmer does nothing. He also has land, he also has, same things, but he has done nothing. And if you ask him, why don't you do something, look at this man, he's doing all of this. This man says, he's a fool. He's wasting his time. What is the point of doing? Look at the sky. Can you see a single cloud in the sky? Where is the rain? Why is he digging all these irrigation channels and this and that? There's no rain. So this is the conversation. Now rain comes. Right? Monsoon comes. Rain does not fall only on one farmer's field. Rain falls on the earth. So the rain falls equally, and if you had rain gauges and you measured the rain falls equally on the fields of both the farmers. Who will benefit from the rain? The one who did all the preparatory work, yes? His little lake will fill up with water, the lock and spill drains will prevent the water from simply running down the hill, so his trees will get water, his fields will get water, all the irrigation channels will fill up, and so on and so forth. The other farmer's land, even though he got exactly the same amount of rain, the water simply runs out from the land because there is nothing to hold the water, and 1 week later or a couple of days later, he's back to square one because his land is dry, whereas this man's land is, he's got the water, he's got his groundwater also has come up because he has conserved water and so on and so forth. He is benefiting from the same rain, whereas the other one, even though he received the same rain, he has got nothing. Now, whose fault is this? Now, if the second farmer says, why is God punishing me? What did I do wrong? People make all these statements. Allah ko koi nahi mila kya? Did Allah not find anybody else? Na'udhu billahi min zalik. Again, all of these statements are kufr. So, he makes all these statements. Why doesn't God do it? Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favoring that man? Allah is not favoring anybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not favoring anybody. I want you to understand two principles here. One is the principle of effort. People say, well, if my risk is written, why do I need to make effort? What is written is that you will get your risk and you will get the amount of risk, but you will get it in proportion to what effort you have made. So, risk is written in the sense of how much of rain will fall on the land. What happens to that rain is put in your hands. Yes? How much money? For example, two people earn the same amount of money. But one guy is smoking, he has a habit of smoking. So every day he smokes maybe two packets of cigarettes, three packets of cigarettes. So he's spending, God knows, I don't know what they cost because Alhamdulillah, I never smoke. But whatever the cost, now you do the sums, the calculations. The man lives for 40 years and he dies of lung cancer, so it's a nice way of dying. Now he will count the amount of money he spent for 40 years buying 3 packets of cigarettes per day, and then count his hospital bills, and then painful death. Money he had. He had the money, that is why he could buy the cigarettes. He had the money, that is why he spent the money on his cancer treatment. But the same money, if he did not buy the cigarettes, if he did not smoke, then he would not have to spend that money on cigarettes or on hospital treatment. That money would have been useful for him for some other beneficial purpose. Whose fault is it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the money. The reason I'm saying this is that it's very important to understand this, because shaitan fools us, right? Please understand one very clear principle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-adil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. Allah is not unjust. Allah is not unfair. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us. If you look at the questions of the Day of Judgment, they tell us very clearly what is in our control and what is not in our control. To understand the principle of Qadr, look at the questions of the Day of Judgment. Once again, there is a set of lectures of mine. Questions, what is it called? It's called, what will we answer? Questions, what will we answer? There's a set of lectures of mine and there is also a book. So, read them. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us 4 things. One, He will ask us about time. What did you do with the life that I gave you? Duration of life, the time that I gave you, how did you spend it? So, what are we questionable about? Duration or what we did with it? It's very clear. Allah will not say, why did you not live for 90 years? He says, Allah is not asking that question because that is not in your hands. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying, why did you not live for so long? Allah is saying, whatever the lifespan that was given to you, how did you spend it? So first thing to understand is, what is in our control? How we spend our life. That's why you will be questioned about that. Second one is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, what did you do with the youth that I gave you? So the youth and strength and so on, in that lifetime, good health, what do you do with that? Allah will not say, how come you, why did you not fall sick or why did you fall sick? No. The good health I gave you, the youth and strength I gave you, what did you do with that? Third question, what did you do with the knowledge that I gave you? Allah will not say, why, how come you did not become a mufti, how come you did not become a doctor or an engineer or scientist? No. Whatever knowledge was given to you were given the knowledge of repairing cycles, what did you do with that knowledge? You were given the knowledge of sweeping the street, what did you do with that knowledge? So that's the third question. Fourth question is on earning. Allah will not say, how much did you earn? How come you did not make $1 billion? No. Whatever you had, where did you earn it from and where did you spend it? That's why another set of lectures of mine, earn and eat halal. Where did you earn it from and where did you spend it? This thing, these 4 questions gives us, first of all, tells us what we should focus on. Secondly, it shows us what is in our control. What Allah gave into our control, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not interfere with, because He has given the control to you and me. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply did not give the control and say, now do whatever you like with it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a Nabi, and He said, do it like this. Here is a plan. Now Allah gives a plan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you control, and then you ignore the plan, you don't read the plan, you don't listen to the Nabi, the control that has been given to you, you misuse it, then you suffer, then you say, why doesn't God do anything? Allah is watching the fun. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. This is jahalat. This is total, complete ignorance and stupidity, nothing else. This is what we understand from agriculture. What Allah gave me control over is what I will do with my land. What Allah did not give me control over is how much rain will fall, whether the seed will germinate or not. But Allah told me how to plant the seed so that it will germinate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the laws of this world. Allah taught us the laws of this world. And Allah told us, here are the laws of the world. Use the laws of the world. The laws of the world are created for you and me. Allah does not need that. Allah does not need the law. Allah is the one who created the law. He can do anything with the law, without the law. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the control of, for example, marriage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the control of, Allah did not give you the control of that you will marry. Maybe you find a spouse, you don't find a spouse. Once you do find a spouse, Allah told you how to treat the spouse. Allah told you how to behave with the spouse. Now you don't do that. You maltreat the spouse. You create a hell in your house. Then you say, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why is he victimizing me? No, I'm not saying maybe your spouse has a mental problem or something. That's a different issue. I mean, you've got an insane spouse. I mean, that's a different matter. I'm talking about somebody who is normal in every way. But your marriage is a disaster. Why? Because you have to sit and look and say, what is it that the two of us are doing to create this hell on earth? Why are we doing that? So whatever Allah has given into our hands, I told you two things, qadar and effort. What Allah has given into our hands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not interfere with. This dunya, to run this dunya, Allah gave it in our hands. Not everything, right? Allah gave it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us in our hands to decide what we want to put into our mouth. Once you eat it, it's gone down your gullet, then it's no longer in your control. Digestion is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are diabetic, you want to eat 20 gulab jamuns because they look very nice, please go ahead, no problem, Allah will not stop you. But then you die of diabetic shock, you die of sugar shock, that's going to happen. Because that is not in your control. That is the principle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, that if you do this, this is what will happen. Now you eat the stuff and then you say, if Allah wanted, He could have saved me. Of course, He could have saved you. But we are not talking about the mashiyat of the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are talking about the usul that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created gravity, which means that if you jump from the 20th floor, you are going to meet Mother Earth in a nasty way. Right? Now you can jump off the floor, then you can say, if Allah wants, He can save you. Of course He can save you. We are not doubting the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I can tell you with complete and total certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not save you. Khalas. I can make this absolutely straight statement. If you jump off the 20th floor of a building, Allah will not save you. Period. Why? How am I saying that with so much authority? Because Allah told us that He will not save us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah said, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. There is nothing for a man except for what he works for. So Allah creates a principle. Allah created the principle of adl. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, establish justice on the earth. And what will happen if you establish justice on the earth? They will be beautiful. There will be a beautiful life. There will be hayatan tayyiba. There will be a beautiful life for everyone on the face of the earth. There will be no oppression. People who are weak will be supported. People who are strong will support the weak, and so on and so forth. What is the meaning of justice? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us the meaning of justice. The famous ayat of Surah An-Nisa, which we all like to quote and send on WhatsApp all over the place, but we don't practice in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly, stand up for justice even if it is against yourself. Meaning that if you are wrong, admit it. This is justice in Islam. Now we don't want to do that. You want to oppress people. You want to grab people's land. You want to grab people's money. You want to do all kinds of things. Then you create all kinds of confusion and pain and suffering, and there's poverty and disparity of income and this and that. And then you say, la hawla quwwata illa billah. What a horrible society. Who did it? Nobody is disputing that it's a horrible society. I agree with you. But who created it? Why doesn't God do something? God did something. God created you, gave you a brain which you are using like manure to grow your hair. In your head, it's like a pot full of manure which is growing the hair. That also doesn't do properly. Going bald also. So Allah gave you a brain, you don't want to use it. Allah sent a book, you don't want to read it. Allah sent a Nabi, you don't want to listen to him. Then you say, why doesn't God do something? What do you want God to do? Come down on the earth as an avatar. This is Hindu philosophy. This is not Islam. Believe me. There are no avatars in Islam. You are the avatar in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us in order to do something good in this world. He showed us what is good. He gave us the ability to do it. And please believe me, Allah does not interfere. After doing all of this, if we still don't want to follow the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we still want to follow shaitan, then shaitan will teach you what to do and you will suffer and I will suffer. And this is, you can't blame this on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rain will fall. The farmer who benefits is the farmer who prepares for the rain before the rain comes. This is the usul of life. And alhamdulillah, this is what agriculture and gardening teaches us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to open our eyes to the realities of this life and to understand them and to learn these lessons from wherever they come. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.